I'm gonna bring my banjo. Why? I don't even know. All right, let's get to.
Combined, I am Captain Planet.
This is another episode of Gaia's Gang, the third one, in fact. And today we're going to be talking about the dangers of mining operations in the middle of Thailand. I'm Ariel Van Cleve, and joined in studio with
Andrew McCardell
and
Emily Smith.
That's right. And we're going to get a recap from Andrew right now about the episode. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're on to episode three today, but just to look back at episode two, it was called Reign of Terror. We opened back on Hope Island. The Planeteers were getting some physical fitness training.
That's right.
They were also getting a little bit flirty with one another, but left out of that was Mati, our smallest Planeteer, who struggled with some of the fitness testing, falling in a mud pit, trying to climb a wall. But then quickly they find out there is an eco-emergency caused by the nefarious verminous scum voiced by the legendary Jeff Goldblum. And Verminous Scum and his rat pack of other ratty villains are going to release a cloud of acid rain to blanket the Earth and ruin it. So the Planeteers jet off. Mati is still suffering from his defeat at the hands of the Wall on Hope Island. Won't even get off the plane to help his fellow Planeteers. The rest of them get trapped. Mati conquers his fears, climbs a building, saves the day.
He climbs a building.
Yes. Captain Planet defeats Verminous Scum with his fists and a few well-placed zingers, and we return to Hope Island, where Mati climbs the wall.
But a different wall. I still contend that's not the same wall as before. There's like space in between the slats. There's all these things. Like, come on now.
They lowered the difficulty of the wall.
Yeah, just to make him feel better about himself. So that's the recap of the last episode. Mm-hmm. Now, do we want to go into like questions, concerns, comments from listeners? Well, before we actually get into the synopsis of the next episode?
Yeah, I think we should. We had a couple of questions and clarifications. So we've got, I don't know, we've been calling this our apologies section, but today it's mostly clarifications. We screwed up the science a little bit.
We did, which is on me.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Apparently, we've been informed by a number of our friends,
aka nerds,
that you can, in fact, seed clouds to cause rain or snow.
Yeah. So the reason this came up, the last episode, Verminous Scum, the way he was making his acid rain cloud was burning coal and also putting a rain-making agent in the coal that was burning that was going to make the clouds. And we were like, ha, 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 that's some cartoon bullshit. Turns out
that's not the case.
Again, I contend it's still cartoon bullshit, but maybe it's also real life. It's whatever.
It's a real life thing. I think the context I got the correction was this is how you make snow at ski resorts.
They seed clouds.
Nope. No, those are just like they're snow
don't
making
they just
machines.
Have machines.
Yeah, well, they just have machines that like make it and
that
blow.
Just
yeah.
Fire
both.
No, this was the context for this that I remember was
that seems like legit operations at like resorts if they're going to go so far as to seed clouds.
Oh wait, why are
no,
people
it's super,
seeding
super,
clouds?
Cloud seeding is super super expensive, and some governments do it. So like China, there was a lot of concern around the Beijing Olympics that the weather and the air quality and various other things were going to be a problem. They were specifically really worried that it was going to rain on the day of the opening ceremonies, and so China was like, "No, it's not. We're going to like seed the clouds in other places, I think, and spend a lot of money to make sure that the weather
what?
Reflects what we want it to."
See, and that just sounds messed up and like...
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. So it did not rain on the night of the opening ceremonies in Beijing, but maybe it wouldn't have rained anyway, but that was the context that I, as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh yeah, that was a thing.
So not ski resorts that are trying to like powder.
No, and now we're going to get in trouble for that.
It seems like we're going to need apologies V2 after this.
Apologies
Sorry,
for our
friends.
Apologies.
Thanks. Yeah. All right. What other apologies do you have?
Oh, shout out to dear friend Brian, who sent me a fantastic text message that I'm just going to read because it's quite good. He gave us a few notes, and here are Brian's notes. Great save on Whoopi in Star Trek The Next Generation. Excellent. And he was one of the people who pointed out you can seed clouds, so that may be the rainmaking agent from episode two. Mm-hmm. And also he said the presidential physical fitness test was around during Reagan when his old ass aced it and started under LBJ. I think we were wondering if it started under Clinton or right. if it started before that. So it was like mid-20th century thing.
LBJ, like that's crazy.
Yeah. And I just want to point out, say something really quickly. I did some Googling just to like double check and confirm all of that. And when I was Googling about the presidential physical fitness test, I came across an article on SB Nation. If you want to Google it yourself, this is called the sad, sad stories of the presidential physical fitness test. SB Nation basically had people tweet at them little anecdotes and nuggets from their humiliation at the hands of the fitness test. And my favorite tweet from the article is, and also my struggle with the fitness test was largely related to the sit and reach, but this person says, sit and reach. I sat, I reached, I farted. Ruined fifth grade. There's a lot of good nuggets in there if you want to check that out.
Emily, didn't you have a comment or concern from a listener as well?
That's true. Cousin Danielle, she's great, giving great comments. Mm-hmm. We probably just need a new feature, Cousin Danielle's Corner. Mm-hmm. But she...
Don't get cocky, Danielle.
I mean, if she gets real good, maybe we can just call her and get her
that's
in.
That's true. Yeah. She's in Chicago.
Just patch her. Just patch her through.
Yeah, and she was also very concerned about the tension between Linka and
Wheeler.
And Wheeler.
I'm looking to my co-host for
Emily
support.
Has a real tough time remembering names.
I'm going to get it
soon. But we're here for you.
It's only episode three.
That's
any
right.
day now.
It's going to sink in.
And anyway, she said the tension, the sexual tension between them was uncomfortable even for her present day. So what was it like for kids in the 90s, man?
I wonder if the kids in the 90s, I mean, if they even really understood what exactly, they probably just were like, they seem to be like, I was going to say chummy, but I don't know like a small child that would say chummy, but at least like friendly, you know, and maybe not think of it in terms of like.
They didn't pick up on the tension.
Whoa, right? Yeah. Because as adults, like it's a bit much.
Yeah.
Frankly.
And we'll talk about that more today.
Oh, yeah. It heats up.
It heats up.
In a big way.
With some really good, not even 980s synth playing in the background. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
The last thing I want to say before we jump into the plot summary is that this podcast is really affecting me in ways that I didn't foresee, because I got made fun of a lot during the last episode, rightly, because I really like the show and watch it many, many times each episode before we do this podcast.
Many times.
And I think we've all had recurring dreams that reflect certain anxieties, and one of the more common ones is the lack of preparedness. Mm-hmm. The final exam is this afternoon, and I haven't gone to class all semester type thing. I had one of those about the plot of, of our little podcast, and the nightmare was that we were starting this segment of the pod to talk about the plot, and I had only seen about half of the episode, and I was in like a cold sweat, freaked out about what I was going to do when we got to that point in the episode, and I was just going to become useless.
This is especially hilarious to me because we know how every episode ends. They call Captain Planet.
He swoops in.
Says some punny things.
So many one-liners.
Too many in this one.
Too inappropriately so. I'm going to talk about that later.
Oh, yeah, it's like Deus Ex Captain Planet.
Well, hopefully this fact will allay your fears and future nightmares related to the podcast.
I mean, I am sad to hear that you are having these concerns as related to the podcast. We want to keep it as fun and light as possible, but if the anxiety dreams keep going...
It's true. We're going to have to have
a discussion.
Honestly, I think it's worth it.
You're suffering for your art.
We are. It's basically heating up, getting hot right now, this podcast. So thanks to all our early listeners.
It's really taken off.
Yeah, all 21 of you.
Well, at least the reviews, maybe not just the listeners.
That's true. If you haven't reviewed us.
Right, exactly.
Click away.
Oh, yeah. On Apple Podcasts, on Google. If there was some confusion about where to find it on, if you're a Google Play person, it's on Google Play Music is where you can find podcasts. So if you're having trouble finding it. Yeah, rate and review us.
Rate and review. Let us know what we could be doing better or differently. Or
we take fan mail.
Oh,
yeah, but if you're going to rate us, just give us 5 stars if you don't like the podcast that much.
All right, guys, let's get into episode 3.
Episode 3. What was this one called again?
It's called Beast of the Temple.
Oh, God. All right. Beast of the Temple. This one, I had took issues with this episode, a couple of different ones. So we open with there's a guy and an ox walking through the jungle and talking about how they shouldn't be there at night because it gets dangerous. First of all, you've got an ox with you, like, whatever. You just set it to destroy something. But they're walking through the jungle, and he's like, we gotta get out of here. It's just too dangerous and creepy. And then all of a sudden, like, there's, like, a noise that he's hearing. He thinks that it's wind. And he's like, maybe that's not wind. It doesn't sound like, doesn't sound quite right. Then he sees these two glowing eyes in the distance just, like, creeping toward him. Then turns out it's a fucking dragon.
Yeah. And he says, oh, the evil spirit has come alive. Just, there's a dragon.
Okay, so now there's a dragon that's wandering through this jungle, and this guy's freaked out, and he's running, and the like, he doesn't get killed or anything, which is good, but he narrowly escapes, right? Yeah. So, of course, this evil spirit, so they have this village has an evil spirit that is a dragon that comes to destroy. What happens then, like, we switch over, and we see the kiddos all kind of hanging out and having a nice time, and then, but it turns out there's another environmental emergency, or not even environmental emergency, it's just an emergency.
Straight to the briefing. It's actually a bit of a global development emergency,
right?
Because they see the destruction of... Well, you actually see destruction of the forest, but then they're talking about the rice paddies.
Yeah, we never see any farms at any point in time. It's just forest.
It's just forest. And so this is the concern. And here I'm going to lay my first, I'll just have small discomfort that I have because they essentially say, oh no, the rice paddies are being destroyed. How will these poor people feed themselves?
Right.
Just a little discomfort here as a person. Who works in global health and global development. This isn't the exact narrative we want to have about low and middle income countries. It's a kind of colonial sounding phrase that they had. So I cringed a bit in that sense. But yes, there's an emergency. Mm-hmm. The rice paddies are in danger.
And Guy, luckily, has a friend in Thailand, and I'm sorry.
It's yeah. Well, so also, just like first
where's
of all, too.
Where's Guy from?
She's only identified as being from Asia.
Asia.
We don't know anything else.
And she hangs out with dolphins. That's it.
Yes,
that's all we know.
Well, first of all, also, Gaia doesn't know what's causing the damage. She's like, you got to just go off and find out. And it's like, what?
And Kwame, and everybody's like, well, I really wish. Because, like, Linka was the one who was like, I really wish that Gaia would, like, tell us more about what's going on. But Gaia's just like, get in there and solve it and make it happen because something's destroying it.
Yeah, why doesn't
seems
she
very
know?
Dangerous.
Well, it's a,
not going to figure
it's
it out.
A dragon. I could imagine, I don't know, throw us some.
But if
ideas
they have tape
here.
Of all this stuff, like, of just this, like, constant, you know, synergy screen of information, like, why can't you dial it back and be like, oh, it's because there's this crazy ass dragon that's wandering around?
Yeah.
This seems. Interesting.
There are a couple things I liked about it, but there are some narratively stupid things in this episode.
But you're right. Like, Gaia didn't know anything about what was going on and just sent the kids off. And then Linka was like, what the fuck? Why are we being sent off? I really, really wish that she would tell us more details. And Kwame was like, Kwame's been consistently shutting everybody down when it comes to any kind of questioning or concern. Mm-hmm. He's like, get over it. This is just what we're doing now. Because he told Linka, he's like, she doesn't know. You just gotta, this is our job. And like, I think the other episode, he did the same shit. He just keeps making it okay that Gaia isn't letting them train or giving them enough information before sending them off into a dangerous situation.
Yeah. So Gaia specifies that they're going to Thailand, which is the first time in three episodes that we know exactly where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know where Hoggish Greedley's oil rig was going, and we didn't know where Verminous Scum's factory was. It was
right.
Just off you go, here's a place. So now we go. We have a specific geographic location. They're going to Thailand, and you're right. So Guy says, oh, I have a friend from school that lives in Thailand. Gaia has not yet said, you're going to this particular place, such that Guy would say, oh, my friend is from that place specifically. She's just like, I have a friend in Thailand.
That's right.
Who turns out to be a resident of the village
of
that they're
the
going to.
Of the very village.
Yes, which
what
is
the hell?
Just another thing we do poorly in the discussion around international health and development is like, yes, it's in Africa. It's in Thailand. These are just like very vague other places.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, like, it doesn't matter that Gi knows this kid at all.
Right.
They could have just shown up at the village and he could have been there anyway and said, hi, his name's Nuok. I'm Nuok.
Right.
Thanks for coming. Off we go. And it right. would have been just as smooth. It didn't, right. their friendship did not matter to the story.
No, it didn't matter at all. Like, it was useless and it made me very angry when all of a sudden I was like, now, wait a minute. It'd be one thing. Because I was like, well, maybe he like traveled to this village. Like, fine, you want to keep it vague, like he is in Thailand, fine. But then it turns out, no, after he keeps saying, my people, my people, my people, I'm like, oh. So this is even worse than I thought it was. And I hate, and it was in that moment that I was like, I'm going to hate this episode.
Yeah. Well, it's like the episode compressed all of Thailand into a small rural village.
Into just
village,
one little spot.
Not like Bangkok or something
exactly, like that. Exactly, with like rice patties.
Yeah. And the fact that Guy doesn't know, it was like, it smacked to me of a cartoon that had its day, and I don't like it, but Scooby-Doo, like the whole like mystery of what's going on, and it turns out to be this monster thing. Like, fucking, I don't like Scooby-Doo. I don't want this to be like a mystery show with monsters. Right. It's just dumb.
I could not have guessed that Scooby-Doo was going to come up today.
But boy, did it. So, okay, so they show up at this village, and we're getting all the little bit of background information about this evil spirit and what the whole thing is. Wheeler is super dismissive about it.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah, of course. But even actually before we learn about the dragon, I think the reveal is that it's Hoggish Greedley. It's his dragon. Like he's involved,
yes,
somehow. Mm-hmm. How much fucking effort is Greedley putting in to understand the very particular legends and stories
That's
of an
true.
Area that he's going to want to mine, that the only way to do it is to freak people out through a dragon myth. Yes.
Quite brilliant, actually.
I mean, brilliant, but Jesus, man.
Like, yeah.
He's good at what he does.
Yeah, and at first I was confused after the first watch. I was like, why does he even care about like scaring them away? Why doesn't he just do it and like let them flee? But he specifically says, he's like, oh, I want them to leave so I can bring in a whole lot more, and
right.
I'll really strip mine the hell out of this area for rubies. That's what he's doing. Sorry, I'm spoiling with the, who cares? The dragon's dumb.
Rubies.
My biggest question about Hoggish though was, what was that fruit he was eating?
I know.
Like,
he was, I don't know. It looked like
a melon of some sort.
Yeah.
Was it a jackfruit? I was trying to get into my tropical fruits.
Well, because it looked like a later on like watermelon, but the first one did not look like a watermelon
no.
to me. It looked
crowdsource. If anyone knows what fruit that is,
but
please
he was
let
just
me know.
Mowing
Ooh,
on
juicy.
It. Oh.
Popping like it's like a green melon the size of a bocce ball or a little bigger, and he's just popping them down his gut.
But
gross.
So juicy.
So juicy, and there's just like the ugh.
Yeah, no, it looked good. I feel like it would make a nice cocktail, maybe a nice sorbet.
Well, you and I had very different impressions of.
I gotta know what this fruit is.
So yeah, so as he's like, so he's just mowing down on this stuff, and it's like juicy, like and gross. I think it's gross. Looks gross, but Emily's really feeling it. She's really interested.
Well, I just want to know what the fruit is.
All right, fair enough. So as like this. When we switch back to the kids and the Planeteers, and they're wandering around and they're trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to make this work? Like Wheeler, again, just making fun of everything. And then like...
Oh, this was something about the myth. So when Nuok is just like explaining to the villagers, explaining like, oh, here's why everybody fled. They're scared of this dragon. This is a myth in my village, whatever. And Wheeler is scoffing at him. Like, that seems stupid
like,
and silly.
Idiots.
And Nuok's like, he's like, yeah, cool it. I was raised not to believe in like evil spirits. I'm just telling you why people are freaked out.
Right.
Asshole.
So like, please stop like being shitty about my culture. Would appreciate if you wouldn't just like, you know, talk down to me all the time. Mm-hmm. But then like the dragon appears.
Continue. At this point, I'm thinking maybe the dragon's fake, but I'm not sure. We didn't know yet, did we?
We didn't know. I don't think we knew officially. But
yep.
I assumed that Greedley was somehow involved. I'm not sure if he like had announced that, you know, these were machines. They're machines. The dragons are machines.
I don't think he said that yet.
No,
it's a cartoon,
yet.
So maybe it was a real dragon. In mm-hmm. general, I'm confused about the history of dragons because it could just be a dinosaur. I don't know.
This is... Nope. This is very clearly a dragon.
Yeah, but... Aren't they the same?
The history of dragons, she's confused
it
about.
It could just be the last known dinosaur. No, but the dragon, also looks, so it has a somewhat fierce, kind of dead-eyed, dragon-y face, but also it's like, you all remember Pete's dragon?
Yeah.
I feel like this dragon is shaped kind of like Pete's dragon.
Oh, it absolutely is, yeah.
Is that the same as like... Puff the Magic Dragon? Different dragon.
Different dragon.
Let's get into the history of dragons. Just real quick.
But I just want to say that for our fellow nerd listeners out there, this dragon does not look like, you know, Daenerys' dragons from Game of Thrones. It's not that fierce.
It's not a terrifying dragon. I mean, it's like going to be a problem because mm-hmm. of the fact that it's also breathing fire and it's quite large. Mm-hmm. When the dragon comes out, they're all freaking out. The dragon is just spraying fire everywhere. Then Guy is like, I can solve it because I got the water power. I'll just, you know, create a cloud and then it'll rain over.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing her own cloud season.
It was like a drone cloud. It was pretty cool.
Was it a new use of the water power? I was thinking before it was just like splashing
water.
Well,
because that was the thing. I was like, well, there's no water anywhere. What are they going to do? How is she going to control it? Oh, don't worry. She's just going to pull water from the earth, create a cloud, zoom it over. Rain cloud.
Seated, I was into that. I thought that was innovation.
Seeded clouds, if you will.
Cloud seeding.
Yeah. I'm going to heap a lot of praise on Guy over the course of this episode. She was like the only, her role in this episode is like the only cool, like she was a badass all the way through.
Cool and useful.
She almost didn't need anybody else except for like summoning Captain Planet.
Right. I mean, and then that's, you know, right. But even then, I have some things to say about that. So, like, but the geese, like, her efforts didn't really pay off. So then Kwame tried to do something. And then I was just thinking, it's fire. Like, can't Wheeler do something? Like, turn the fire back on him or figure out a way to stop it? He has the firepower.
Oh, yeah. Like, he should be able to
negate
it, right?
Can't he just do something? Like,
that's a good point. I didn't even think about it. That's a good point.
No, but it was pissed.
He did. He sent fire at the dragon, and the dragon was fireproof.
Oh, that was later.
Well, right. But at the time, like, couldn't there have been some way that he could manipulate the fire that was being tossed out of the dragon?
Yeah, I don't know why he couldn't.
That was a real missed opportunity because he's probably too busy just, like, being a freak and spazzing and
it's an especially good point, given that what they do is... Like 8 minutes into the episode, they summon Captain Planet.
Yeah. And then he shows up. And then he shows up. And here's the thing. Here's what annoyed me. There are two things. First of all, he shows up and he has so many fucking one-liners. The forest is on fire, you asshole. Like, stop being so funny. Just go do something. Fix this. Fix the problem. So he goes to reroute a river and then shoots the water somewhere.
He erupts from underground and the river explodes like a geyser out from under the earth. Yeah. It's
but
ridiculous.
Then he doesn't reroute the river back.
That seems like it'll be bad for the rice
which is
patties.
Going to be exactly. He's causing irreparable damage to the environment of which he is trying to save, and he didn't even fucking bother.
The fact that he summoned this early, like, spoiler alert, they're going to summon him again.
Right.
So this is going to be the first Captain Planet double dip. I don't know if this is a common thing that they do. But why not construct the plot such that, you know, for instance, Wheeler uses his firepower to smother the flames in the forest or something instead of summoning Captain Planet, because the show is better when it's about the Planeteers and not about Captain Planet.
I thought the show was over. Captain Planet appeared, and I was sleepy when I was watching it.
Like, that's pretty quick.
As I am right now. And and I thought it was over. It seemed faster than usual, but it wasn't.
No, it was not. Because he just showed up to put the fire out.
Why did he leave?
Because that was it. That's all they needed.
I see.
He was like, we just need to get this fire out.
They had a specific request.
So thank you for rerouting a river.
Okay.
Messing up the irrigation of the rice paddies, more than likely. And also maybe fucking with this village and their source of water. And all the fish that, God, whatever. So that pissed me off a lot, clearly. I'm very annoyed about it. So he leaves. They're like, we got to go track down this fucking dragon. We got to find it. Because that makes sense. Like, okay.
And they split up,
and they split up. But then even Linka was like, should we have split up? But then they should have. Because then, like, Wheeler and Linka.
They have a moment.
We're suddenly almost going to make out. In the middle of the forest while they're hunting a dragon.
And I love what happens. So, first of all, everybody splits up. And so Guy goes with Nuak, Kwame and Mati are together, mm-hmm. paired off, and then the third pair is Linka and Wheeler. And as they're all walking through the forest looking for the dragon at night,
right?
There's this, if you've seen any, this made me think of like detective movies from the 80s. There's this slow, like, synthy background music happening. Yeah. So Linka and Wheeler are walking together, and they've got flashlights. And Wheeler says, Zariel pointed out, that he's glad they split up, so it gives him a moment alone.
Right.
And he moves in for the kiss, and as he does it, they drop their flashlights down, and the camera, like, pans back.
Yeah.
So that you're looking at them. Like, they drop the lights out, and so they're in shadows.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And we were talking a little bit before the show, and Ariel mentioned that she was a big fan of Saved by the Bell. And if what I remember about Saved by the Bell, one of the things I remember about Saved by the Bell is that whenever characters kissed, mm-hmm. they had the like simulated crowd noise of, uh-huh. and I heard that in my head Wheeler moved in for the kiss.
It didn't happen.
Nope.
Didn't happen because what? The dragon appears, or like, and then she falls and gets her foot stuck, and then she's just like, leave me here to die.
That's true.
She wouldn't stop saying it. She's just like, go, you gotta go. You gotta get out of here. Just leave me here.
Put your own mask on first, you know?
It's like, yeah, but Jesus, that's extreme. Like, we're just gonna leave Linka trapped in a tree.
It's episode 3. It's too soon to lose one of the Planeteers.
Exactly. We still need them, you know? Like, come on, y'all. Wheeler tries to distract the fucking dragon.
He tries to set it on fire.
Well, that was right. Oh, yeah, he tries to set it on fire. He's like, oh, you fucking fireproof shit. So that was a problem. So then he was like, okay, well, then I guess I'll just have to like outrun this dragon as though it's like not just a giant fire-breathing monster. So then he winds up in like the river that's been rerouted because of Captain Planet. But there are crocodiles.
Oh, yes.
There are crocodiles there. Are there a lot of crocodiles in Thailand? I'm asking because I generally don't know.
I think there are crocodiles. Okay. I don't know if they're quite as
crocodiles
numerous as we.
Also related to dinosaurs.
That's a really good point.
Uh-huh. He jumps in the water, and then there's this crocodile. He narrowly escapes, and then he gets snapped up by the dragon. And the dragon's mouth, and he's like, oh, you know.
He says, you have sharp teeth for like a spirit or an illusion or something.
Right.
Which this is something else they keep doing, and it happens again later. They continue to refer to it as, they find tracks later on when they're looking for the other Planeteers. And Kwame says, those are big tracks for an evil spirit or something. It's like, you know it's not a spirit.
Right.
You were almost incinerated in a forest fire of its creation. You know this is a real thing. You might not know exactly what it is yet, but stop acting like it's a ghost.
Ghost.
Is that from a movie?
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
These two are really pleased with themselves right now.
Yup.
Oh, that was funny.
So, all right. So he's like, you're right. That's a fair complaint to have because it's clear that it's a real thing and it's attacking a village and leaving tracks everywhere. Now it has Wheeler and Hoggish Greedley comes up floating in with his little pig plane.
Yeah, I like this. Actually.
His little pig seaplane.
There was a pig plane?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was surprised that you didn't comment on that. I was like, this is pretty great.
Sounds like I would love that pig plane, but I totally missed it.
Yeah, cargo plane that was pink.
And
had the nose of it looked like a
snout.
Pig.
Yeah. Oh.
So then it opened up, and then the dragon just walked inside, and then they flew off.
I totally missed
that.
How
big is that plane, by the way?
How big is that lake? You need a lot of air. You need a lot of space to take off with a seaplane like that. It landed in the water. You have to have a lot. You know, you don't just lift off. It's not a helicopter. Right. I have there. So
these are all good
geographically.
Yeah, and the dragon is huge.
The dragon is huge,
and it walks into this plane.
Yeah.
With room to spare.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
It's an epic plane.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it was able to get off of that water. I'm just saying, like, I don't know much about takeoffs and landings, but I know that you need a lot more runway space.
Bernoulli's principle.
I missed the whole part of this. Nothing to add here.
Yeah, you missed the pig plane. So the pig plane takes off with the dragon and Wheeler, and then they go. Is that when they go to this like ruins the temple?
Yeah, I think it's called. What is it called? It might even be called the Temple of the Rubies. I think we find out that's what,
yes,
when they figure out what,
oh,
Ruby Liu
I is. Thought yeah. they were saying Temple of the Movies, and I was very confused about that. Temple of the Rubies makes more sense.
That was the point where I realized, like, okay, so Greedley has done a lot of research in order to really terrify this village. That seems like a lot of work. Oh my God, what does he do with his time? Then I'm realizing, like, he's retrofitted this temple, these ruins, for his own purposes, which also is a lot of time and money and effort. And it's just him. Like, where are his backers? Where are his investors? How is it just one dude who's able to, like, just swoop in, put in cameras everywhere? There's cameras everywhere in that village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's it's funny, too, because so this is a point where when Wheeler gets back to the temple with him, Greedley does the evildoer, I'm going to tell you my whole plan and plot mm-hmm. routine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he explains that the dragon is a strip mining machine. And once all the villagers flee, he's going to bring 100 more in. They're going to strip the land clean and turn it into a gravel pit. And his sidekick Beavis is really excited about turning the land into a gravel pit. Greedley seems to want the rubies they're going to get.
Right.
Good for both of them, I suppose.
Everyone's excited.
Yeah, but one of the things that to just pile on about what's going on with this dragon, nobody's driving it. Beavis isn't right. in the dragon driving it around.
Right.
Its behavior is weird because it seems to attack people, but not really. It's kind of just burning down the forest and like kind of attacking things and doing its strip mining, I guess.
It's a very sophisticated dragon.
Yeah. It seems to know to attack. It knows what threats are because it goes after the Planeteers, I suppose, unless it's just doing its strip mining and they happen to be nearby and it's dangerous for them to be nearby. But I don't know what AI is running this dragon. Greedley isn't operating it by remote and nobody's right. driving it. Right. What's going on?
Strong robotics in this cartoon.
He's just like sending out a dragon monster that is like a dragon robot, and it's learned, like,
yeah.
Or is it just a threat? Whenever it senses a threat, it has to just spray fire. But what's a threat?
Who knows?
Oh, you're right. That's a good question. I didn't even think about that. No one's inside operating it. That would have been.
Just throw Beavis in there.
Yeah, because what the fuck is he doing? Nothing.
No.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Giggling a lot. Being confused. So they're trying to track down Wheeler now because, oh my gosh, all the Planeteers are like, well, what the fuck? Where did he go? What are we going to do? We can't find him. And then, like, Linka's finally freed from that tree, thank goodness. And then she feels really guilty because, like, she fell.
Oh, he got captured.
Yeah, he got captured.
Mm. Yep.
I'm still waiting for the plot recap, guys.
We're doing it.
So as they're looking around, they see the tracks. They fall into the river. They realize, like, oh, shit. So then Gi, like, goes into the river to see if she can
jumps
figure
right
something
in.
Out. Just jumps right in. Kwame's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Don't do that. Crocodiles again. Like, wind power swoops in, puts, like, a log.
Wait, so, yeah, when Linka says wind.
Why not just swoop the crocodile away?
Which she then does.
Which she does. After the fact, but her first reaction is, I'm going to grab that log and I'm going to swoop it in to that jaw.
Yeah, so it's useful, I guess, to know that they can be that precise with their powers, but...
I guess?
As
but
soon
just
as she says, yeah,
swoop it away.
You think that that's what she's going to do, right? Just blow away the croc.
Yeah.
And she uses the stick.
I really enjoyed the stick getting stuck in the crocodile's mouth. That was a tongue twister.
Yeah, I liked it too. It was cool, but then just... have Gi then escape and leave the croc where it is.
Right.
It just seems silly that then she blew it away, which she could have done in the first place.
Just blow it away.
Efficiency. You're making an efficiency, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. And I feel like if they're looking for their friend, stop dicking around and showing off your powers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The only two of the Planeteers' powers are of any use at all in this episode, really, which are Gi's extensively.
Yes.
And then in a second, like, Mati uses heart to track down Wheeler.
Okay, but here's my question about that is because he said the evil energy or something is blocking his thoughts. Like, there's evil that
I think it was just hoggish. I didn't get that either. I was very confused by that. Something was in the way. It was like the dark side of the force clouding a Jedi's senses or something.
Oh, God. Okay. Yep. There you go. So.
Emily is bemused.
I don't know what we're talking about, guys. I just heard something about Jedi and I was like, it came up again?
What?
I feel like you're always talking about Star.
Star Witch? Which one?
Star.
Oh, my God.
Wars.
Oh, so close. So close.
Oh, shoot.
That would have been wrong? Amazing. No. Oh, no, you're right.
Right.
But you were so close to not getting
it. I was. I almost said Trek, and I was like, I don't think that's right.
I could feel like the anxiety building in my body as she was just like,
Star Wars, the Jedi. All right. What else happened in the episode, guys?
Well, okay, so they're trying to find him, and then they can see like what he saw. So they're able to say, okay, well, there's like these spires. There's this thing. This is what we're looking at. And then Guy's friend is like, okay, well, that's this temple. I know exactly where we need to go. Thank goodness I'm here in this one particular village in Thailand. Luckily for all y'all, and that we're friends with Guy, inexplicably for no reason. And then let's go track him down. So then they go to track him down. And it was the weirdest getaway. Like, after they get there, they were slinking. They're trying to slink away.
Yeah, it's Guy swims into the temple via an underground river.
Yeah.
And then she cuts Wheeler's bonds without being noticed by Hoggish.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a creep away, which is like...
the most, like, expressive creep away I've ever seen.
Like Scooby-Doo and, like, Shaggy would be in, and they would be creeping through a haunted house or something like that. It was dumb.
And then Greedleed's like, oh, yeah. Didn't say you could go anywhere. And they're like, oh, fuck. And we got caught. Like, clearly, you're being so obvious with your leaving.
Yes.
Why not just run? Right. Why are you slinking?
But then Guy really levels the boom by breaking the underground river through the wall of the temple.
Yeah, she does. And they're like, oh, fucking cool. That was badass. Way to go. And then they got swept up in the river, too. Because guess what? That's how water works. You can't just have it sectioned off to one area unless you want to, like, fully control the water as it's coming in, which would have been really neat if she had done that.
Seems like you'd need a dam or something.
Well, yeah, but maybe she could, like, create, like, a control it in a way where it'd be, like, not an actual dam, but just, like, wall of water. But instead, it sweeps them up, too, and then they get shot out of this, like, spot, luckily in the exact same location as the other planeteers, which worked out really well for everybody.
Yeah.
So
the dragon comes back out and sets everything on fire, and they summon Captain Planet again.
Right. And then again, he shows up and he does these fucking funny one-liners, and it's like, dude, time and place, and this isn't it.
Oh, yeah. He had a lot of good ones.
Yeah, we started with time to branch out. I'm feeling Vine. And he binds the dragon with a bunch of vines.
Did it look like he, like, turned himself into vines?
Oh, did he?
Like, I don't think he actually did, because then he reappeared. But, like, there was something weird about that where I was like, did he? Like, I rewound it, like, 5 times. I'm like, did he just turn into vines? But he didn't. He just shot some out of his, like, whatever. It doesn't matter. So he binds up the dragon. Then he, like, digs a grave for it, basically.
Huge grave.
Like, unnecessarily huge grave. And, like, does he throw it into...
This actually, again, efficiency. What he does is he uses his body to smash through its leg.
That's right.
Like, cuts its leg off by flying through it. And then I think it falls, and he does this... He just totally dismembers this thing.
Right. There's, like, machine parts that go everywhere.
Oh, yes.
And some of those machine parts wind up in the water...
Yes, which, I mean...
They don't get cleaned up. The other stuff got cleaned up. The stuff in the water doesn't. He's fucking with the environment.
Yeah, and
rerouting
in general,
rivers and tossing metal into things.
Electronics recycling is a little questionable. It's not clear how valuable electronics recycling is.
Well, but y'all, luckily he recycles the dragon into a planting machine.
Oh, yeah, and this again is just
which I
like...
just... As soon as that, again, that happened, I'm like, what...
Yep, this is actually, and this speaks to a lot of developmental aid programs are focused on agriculture and modernizing agriculture in low and middle income countries. I was like, ooh, cliche.
What
also,
is
it?
It
didn't
what?
Look like a rice planter to me. But...
Right, it didn't look like a rice planter. It looked like it had like, it was like a tank.
Like a combine or something.
And you know? Then like, it also, like, what does that run on? Do they even have that there? Is that good for the environment? Captain Planet, you fucking asshole. Like, you just really miscalculated on this one. He really messed up on this one in a lot of different ways.
It probably was, I was trying to put myself in 90s mode though, and it probably was very cutting edge and super appropriate at the time.
Sure.
Maybe.
Lots of things are super appropriate at the time.
That's true. Retrospect.
So they recycled this machine into a like rice planter, apparently, and don't clean up the river because I didn't see any parts coming out of the water. So there's still just parts of a machine at the bottom of that river. That's a problem. And then they decide to make Guy's friend an honorary planeteer, and they just have like a t-shirt just ready to go at any point in time. Do they always have like one or two t-shirts? Like, yeah, always ready. They have like jackets. They have cool jackets they can give to somebody, or like a button.
Yeah, or patch. Patches are really in again right now.
Yes, they are.
We should make patches, guys. I'll work on that.
Excellent. So he becomes an honorary planeteer, and then there's a lot of like Wheeler and Linka go back to talking about like, well, hey, you know, and Linka like gave Wheeler a big old hug as soon as they found him and he was safe and everything was fine. And he's like, well, shit, I would have put myself in extraordinary danger more often if I knew I was going to get this kind of action, basically. But then, like, he spent so much time talking about just getting the hug that he didn't mention the fact that they almost made out in the forest while looking for a dragon. Like, that part gets glossed over.
Yeah, and doesn't she say after he talks about the hug, she says, well, it was you or the dragon beast.
Right.
And he's upset about that.
Because
like, she's just being cute, man. Chill out.
But it's like, but Wheeler can't chill out.
No.
He has no chill. Zero chill.
No chill. But also, guys, remember, it's just an angsty time in a person's life.
Yeah, when they're somewhere between 16 and 22 years old. We have no idea.
We don't know how old they are, but.
They have been taken from their homes. They haven't seen their parents in a while.
That's true.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot of like trauma that they're not talking about.
Yeah.
He does come around to Thailand by the end. So he gets a semi-redeeming moment. He doesn't really want to leave.
Right.
Because he's like, there.
Oh, turns out this place isn't as much of a hellscape as I was assuming it was going to be based on this evil dragon legend that I refuse to believe because I don't like things that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes, exactly.
Very North America of him. Mm-hmm. So that's like the end of the show, and then they do the whole recycling call to action thing.
Yeah, but then the PSA is about metals.
Right.
And other types of sort of large-scale mass mining.
Right.
Not about, like, ruby mining or something. And so the thrust is recycle your aluminum cans and whatnot.
Right.
Which we know from the first episode that Emily was doing way back when as a child. and it's, I was confused by that, because I was like, well, that... Okay,
well,
but that's not
but
really
I
what
think
the episode was about.
Most viewers probably aren't buying rubies, so the PSA is more applicable.
Or maybe they didn't want to get into like the whole, you know, diamond mining,
blood diamond
thing.
Yeah, like think of the consequences of mining writ large. I guess that's
right.
What they were.
That's true. But
I mean, and they could have like talked about mining operations in a more like does it have to be rubies? Like.
Right.
I mean, I guess because that's like the easiest thing to equate to value. It's like, well, I know rubies are like, I can get money out of them. Copper, kids don't know. Kids don't know about copper mines.
Aluminum, everyone knows an aluminum can.
Right.
It's true. And guys, aluminum is like the third most abundant material in the earth. So it just makes sense to focus on it.
Wow.
It's the third most abundant material?
In the earth, yes.
Wow.
What are the top two?
Oxygen and silicon. Never would have guessed that.
That's crazy.
The thing about aluminum though is that it mixes up into a lot of different ores, and so that's why you have to mine it out.
Very good.
Yep.
Something, this is a little bit random, but I noticed during the PSA they have a recycling center machine, like a machine where you would go and take your cans and drop them off. And it says on the side of this big green little recycling center machine, Vlad's recycling machine or something like that. It's like, why is it Vlad's?
Interesting.
Why not?
Who's Vlad? Is it Dracula's recycling?
Vlad the Impaler?
Vlad the Impaler, yeah.
I don't know who that is. They're looking at me like, is she serious? Who's Vlad the Impaler, guys?
Like, the Dracula legend is that this warlord named Vlad the Impaler became Dracula, like made a deal with a demon or something like that. And I think that's one of the origin stories. There's a lot of them, but that's one.
He's just a real bad guy.
Vlad Dracul? No?
Nothing?
Huh. Nothing.
You weren't aware of Vlad the Impaler legend?
Yeah, so back to the recycling.
Lore.
You should definitely recycle your cans, guys.
Yes.
It's apparently the most successful thing you can recycle. Paper, it's a little more questionable. You might say like, oh, is it worth it? I have to rinse out the can and the truck comes mm-hmm. and like picks up my recycling. Is it worth it? Yes, it is worth it. It's the most successful thing or the most efficient thing that you can recycle. And aluminum is infinitely recyclable.
Wasn't there was just some stuff going on with China not accepting certain recyclable material anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? And then that was causing concern and problems and questions about how much recycling has actually been going on.
Yes.
Because I think like, because when I went to, in Denmark in particular, it was most obvious because you would go to the grocery store, you would buy up a bunch of like, you know, bottles of beer in like a case. Then you would bring the case back
mm-hmm.
and like get your deposit back. And then they would recycle. You could see that the bottle had been recycled enough times.
Hmm.
It was very obvious. But like for us, that's not really what the U.S. does. In any stretch.
Yeah. So in the case of aluminum, it's useful because it's like 95% less energy to recycle an aluminum can than to make a new one. And you don't lose any matter, essentially, when you recycle the can. As opposed to something like glass is slightly less efficient, but also really good.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like paper, you actually lose some of the material as it goes. So you can only recycle the content like a handful of times.
Oh,
yeah. So this is why the can's a good choice.
Right.
Do it.
The most obvious choice.
Yeah. Don't throw away the can, people.
Do y'all remember the like project that grade school teachers would do? And it was sort of a recycling lesson, but we would learn how to make paper, and I'm doing air quotes, out of dryer lint, I want to say.
I did that at home.
Really flat. But it was always funny. We get done with it.
Did you guys
We think it would be really cool. Like, oh, we're going to make paper. This is really awesome. But then the end product, you're like, this didn't work at all. Can't use this as paper.
It's like decorative paper. I put flowers in mine. It might have been part of the recycling club. I don't know.
It wasn't just crushing cans in the garage.
No, we made paper too.
Yeah, Danielle, weigh in on that.
I wonder if there's like an agenda for each meeting. Like, I bet there was.
I don't know if I knew good meeting hygiene at that point.
I feel like you
probably did.
Also, I'm glad you just called it good meeting hygiene.
Speaking of which, my parents just sent me somewhat recently my fourth grade campaign flyer for student council.
Uh-huh.
It's printed on orange, neon orange printer paper, the kind that feeds into a long, like, stream. Or it's all connected, you know, the tear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call that? It doesn't matter. The campaign was Flintstone themed. Yabba dabba do for vote for Emily. Yabba dabba don't forget. There's something about the Stone Age too.
I don't know how we could continue talking after that.
Yeah, no.
Little off topic, but no. Does relate to good meeting hygiene. So.
On that note,
oh good, look, I made another cartoon reference.
Yeah, we'll be back in a couple weeks with the return of Verminous Scum, thank goodness.
Oh, right.
So I feel like that'll be a more interesting... I think the show's going to get back on its feet.
I mean, and if it doesn't, we'll be here to talk about it. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.